Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with Kia. Going electric? Plug into the Kia e-range of EVs and PHEVs.
Kia. Movement that inspires.
Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with Kia. Going electric? Plug into the Kia e-range of EVs and PHEVs.
Kia. Movement that inspires.
0818 715 815.
Hello, good afternoon, and you're very welcome to Liveline. On Friday's programme, we were contacted by Martina McAvoy in Dublin, and she had come across, as indeed a lot of people had, because it was on Twitter, it's also on Instagram still, it was a poster featuring 30 head and shot photographs of individuals. They weren't identified, but she noticed and spotted that her brother, who died peacefully a month ago, was on the poster. Now, the poster was for a so-called National Day of Commemoration this past Saturday at the Papal, we didn't say where it was, but it's at the Papal Cross in the Phoenix Park. And this was their banner. By the way, the poster was posted by one of the country's leading anti-vaxxers and COVID deniers. For all those whose lives have been affected by suicide, addiction and despair due to the lockdowns, and for all casualties of medical malpractice. And now we've discovered, thanks to one incredible work by one listener, and we'll talk to him in a sec, he's identified 29 of the people on the poster. And they are all people who have unfortunately been on RIP.ie within the last month. And their photographs have been commandeered, hijacked by RIP.ie for this demonstration, as if they all died from either COVID, from the vaccination. That's the whole thesis of this group. Now, one of the people who was there on Saturday, and indeed, I think the only person, by the way, it wasn't hijacked by RIP.ie. RIP.ie has been hijacked. Their photographs have been hijacked by this organisation. One of the people there, and actually, in fact, from what I can see, the only person wearing any face covering at the event on Saturday was Father Danjo O'Mahony. Father Danjo, good afternoon.
Hello, Joe. How are you?
Good. I know you're a Capuchin based.
That's right, yep.
And very well known. Are you aware, Dan, that this poster with the 30 people on it, a number of families who've recognised their loved ones are deeply upset that their loved ones, including Martine, who spoke to us on Saturday, their loved ones are being, their deaths are being used by this organisation to forward their aim of being anti-vaccination, being COVID deniers. Were you aware of that, Dan?
Certainly not, Joe. I wasn't indeed. I was last minute drafted in at the last minute, really.
And who did you think was organising it?
I thought it was a voluntary group. They were leading for peace, and they were involved with people who died by suicide, etc., which I am and have been involved in for years, Trudokus and all these groups. But I'm shocked to hear that. I'm very sad to hear it as well.
And do you think you were misled?
Well, all I was asked to do was to say a prayer, which I did. I turned up at the marquee, and they were singing. Then I said the prayer, St. Francis, and I had to leave because I was on duty myself.
Okay, but and did you speak to any of the organisers? Because we can't find any of them.
Well, I'm sure. I don't know. I haven't their phone numbers. I haven't their names yet. Would you believe it? I was a blind date.
You haven't their names or numbers?
No, I haven't. Oh, God, no, I haven't, sure, no.
And were they male or female, do you know, Dan?
Male and female.
Two people contacted you?
Yeah.
And was this on Saturday morning?
It was Saturday late, I think. Well, Saturday morning, yes.
Okay.
Yes, it was very late, yeah.
And just what was their plea?
They were stranded and they were struck to get somebody to say a prayer, you know what I mean? So I said, okay, look, I'll help out in the name of God.
But they said they were from a group.
No, they didn't say who they were from, but they were talking about, they said they were, that was for deaths through suicide and COVID, etc.
But none of the people on this poster died of COVID.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that. I'm very, very sorry to hear that.
Most of them are young people. Some of the people, we won't name them, by the way.
Oh, no.
But it's still up on Instagram. We managed to get it taken off Twitter, but they took it off after the program on Friday.
Yeah.
So we presume Twitter were listening.
Would you please assure the families that we prayed for them all at the end of the prayer? You know what I mean? That was what we did. We prayed for all who were deceased and died recently, etc.
Yeah, but do you not think by you attending...
Sorry?
But do you not think by you attending, Dan, you gave this... it's nothing short of a bogus event. You gave this bogus event credibility.
I'm sorry about that.
But do you think you did?
Well, it wasn't my intention, I can tell you.
I know that.
But
do you think, given that they've missed all their posters, and critically the posters of these 30 people, who, by the way, are all deceased... And as you, I don't know whether you've seen the poster.
No, I haven't.
Well, one of them was carrying a photograph of one of the placard with at least one of these people on it.
Yeah.
They're all recently deceased. They're all relatively young.
Yes.
And it's a mixture of young men and young women. Some of them, tragically, were in the public eye when they died because of the accident or whatever happened to them.
No, I didn't see the poster at all, Joe.
Yeah, and were you aware of did you even see the banner saying national? It wasn't a national day of commemoration.
No,
about 100 people.
No,
many people
no.
were at it, do you think, Dan?
I'd say they marched down from the Papal Cross, yeah. Probably about 100, I suppose. Yeah.
Yeah. And was there a coffin at it?
There was.
Yeah. And what was the purpose of the coffin?
They put lights on it, candle lights on it.
Okay. Is that a well known ecclesiastical?
People came up, various family members came up and lit a candle in memory of their loved ones, I think.
Yeah, but no, as far as we can find out, and we're saying to any family who believe they were on this poster and want to try and get it taken down off Instagram, we can't get it taken down, to email us and we'll talk to them privately because we're not going to give
we have
their names, and we're not going to give them out to Joe at RT.ie.
Yeah, sure.
But none of the families, as far as we can see, we could be contradicted on this, but given the phone calls we're getting, none of the families were there to place a candle from that poster. Were there to place a candle on this coffin?
I'm sorry to hear that. Painful.
Mm-hmm. And did they have any statues or any iconography?
No, there was a smaller statue there of Our Lady. All right, yep.
Okay, and you just. Who introduced you, Father Dan?
Nobody introduced me. They said the priest now will say a prayer. That's all.
Yeah. And did he even know your name?
They didn't.
And is it fair to say you were the only one wearing a face covering?
I'm told that's true. Yeah, I was wearing a face mask, yeah.
Well, was everyone else wearing a face mask?
I don't think they were. I didn't think
of course they weren't. They're anti-face masks.
Yeah. The cameras will tell you that.
Well, the cameras have told us that.
Yeah.
That they're not there. Have you? This is for your own purposes. Have you got a phone number where you can clarify with these two people who contacted you?
Well, if they want to contact me, they contact me and I sympathise with them and assure them that it will be the last thing in my mind. You know what I mean?
Why would you be sympathising somebody who hijacks?
Well, I don't know.
Hang on. Let's be clear about this. These people, and we've done it before, these people, these anti-vaxxers, have hijacked.
Yep.
The photographs and the details of people who are recently deceased.
Yeah.
I know grief never goes away.
Yeah.
But if there's one time when grief sears through every family,
yeah,
it is for the year, the 2 years, the 3 years.
Yeah.
Now, I can tell you from our investigations, and the man who did it will be on with us in a sec, most of the majority of these people who were used in this poster on Saturday died within the last 4 weeks.
Well, I didn't know
died,
that.
Their poster, their names, were their photographs were used before their month's mind, if they had a month's mind, before their month's mind was even marked.
Yeah, I'm sorry to hear that. My sympathies go to the families.
And what would you say to the people who misled you?
I said, that wasn't fair, that wasn't right. I'm annoyed over it.
Yeah, okay. And you're not, Dan, the Capuchins in Dublin have been around for so long. You're not known as a group that's easily misled.
Well, I'm sorry about my foolishness to have anything to do with it.
No, it's nothing. Enough. You're far from that. You're competitions between Brian Shortall and Brother Kevin and all the great work they do are well regarded in this city and beyond, and that won't change. But you're saying you feel you were misled.
Yes.
Okay. Well, I appreciate you coming on the program.
You're very welcome, Joe.
And look after yourself. And I also appreciate the fact that you mentioned that your prayers are remembering those people.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Father Danjo Omani, thanks indeed. Now, the man who has gone through this poster, which was on Twitter up to Friday at 3 o'clock, and is now up on Instagram, put up by one of the leading anti-vaxxers in the country. The man who went through this over the weekend and did, I don't know how he did it, is Francis. He's from Limerick. He has a degree in journalism. Francis, good afternoon.
How are you, Joe?
Good. Now, what prompted you to do this forensic work with these photographs?
Well, to be honest, this kind of thing has been going on for years, the stealing of people's photographs. But usually it's people who are alive that do it to intimidate them. Mm-hmm. But this is the lowest of the low. Like, just these people were just after dying.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of those people would, you know what I mean? The death is still raw with them, like, you know? With the families.
So when you saw this poster, when did you foresee this poster?
I saw something about a poster on Twitter about 9 o'clock, so I listened to the playback on your show.
Okay.
And so I went and looked for the poster and said, "F this, I'm gonna help find the families so they can do something about this, you know."
What did you do?
I ran each picture through an image search app.
Mm-hmm.
And they all led back to RIP.ie.
Okay.
Now, there was one that I couldn't find, and I found it the following day. So
was that RIP.ie as well?
No, they all led back to RIP.ie, except one led back to Galway Bay FM's website.
Okay.
So, but then I found the RIP ad after I found that. But so they all came from RIP.ie.
And does your program that you used, does that then tell you the deceased names, Francis?
No, it shows you what page the photograph is on. It's a free app. You can get them on
RIP.ie. So then you came up, and we have them here in front of us, you came up with these 30 names.
The 29 names, yeah.
29 names, okay. We already had one, Johnny, from Martina on. But you came up with all these names. It's such an awful thing to do about what they've done. Is it fair to say, I don't know whether you went into it, then start going into RIP.ie, which we did after you contacted us, and most of them died, the majority of those deceased people died within the last month. None of them in RIP.ie, it doesn't mention COVID or vaccination or anything. These people are, they're not trying to say it's COVID. They don't believe anyone has died of COVID. They believe COVID is a hoax. But did you notice anything else in common with the people? A lot of them were quite young.
A lot were young. I don't know. I think they were all between October and November.
Okay, this past
this past 2 months. And there was nothing else other than the fact that they were young. I think they were just looking for young people. There was one or two that were actually in the news when they died.
Yeah, we won't go into that.
But
again, nothing to do with COVID, nothing to do with Max, nothing, absolutely nothing. They just hijacked these people. These deceased people and their families, and they've hurt their families grievously from what we're hearing back.
I'd have to go through the RIP.ie manually to identify the last person.
They referred to them on Saturday as the victims of the silent war, which started in March 2020. That's pretty clear, isn't it, what they're on about?
They were just looking for dead people to put on their poster.
And Francis, is your software foolproof?
Well, do you know what? It worked 29 out of 30 times.
And how long did it take you on Saturday or Friday night to do this?
Friday night, about 2 hours.
Well done. And have you done this? Have you done this before?
Well, you'd use reverse image search.
Okay.
Storyful use it for finding fake news.
Okay.
You see fact checkers to say this picture did not come from, if you see a picture of a crowd and they'd say this is not from today's protest. This is from 3 years ago.
Okay.
That's the type of software they use to look for these pictures. So it's pretty freely available, that kind of software.
Okay, well done for doing it. And as I say, we have the list that you uncovered. And we've added a little bit of information that we've got from RIP.ie. We've no intention of publishing the list, obviously, but it's still up on Instagram. It's up on Twitter. You can be guaranteed, because they've done it before, if they're taken down off Twitter, they'll come back up under a different name, ASAP, use this poster, which is completely fake, and not just fake, tasteless, hurtful. Grievously hurtful to families. Francis, what do you do? And you're a journalist, obviously, or is this a hobby?
Well, I just did this on my own time.
And you're sick of people's photographs being hijacked. News.
Especially when they're taking people's children. Like, the main thing they used to do was take people's children's pictures off their Facebook, and they'd share them just to intimidate them.
Oh God!
Do you know what I mean? But this is the first time that, well, it's not the first time they've used dead people, but they've never done it on this scale.
And you think, as you said, and I don't want to put, but you think from your research before, this is the lowest of the low.
Yeah, it's a content moderation thing on social media that they're just not doing their jobs properly.
Well, Twitter did take it down at 3 o'clock on Friday.
Yeah, but they shut that
account.
Yeah, you can walk into Tesco and get a £15 SIM card and create a new account, you see.
Yeah, but how do you get around that? That's how they get around Twitter and Instagram and Facebook.
Yeah.
But how do Facebook, Instagram and Twitter get around what these
better paid
awful
local
people are doing?
Better paid local content moderators, that's what they need.
Local
content moderators with local knowledge. And better pay them, you know?
Okay, okay.
Like some fella in San Francisco or whatever won't know what an insult is in Irish, or they won't know who.
That's a very good point, yeah. That's a very good point.
So they need to have content moderators in Dublin.
But I thought a lot of their staff are in Dublin.
No, Twitter's ones are in California.
Are they the content moderators?
Yeah, Twitter's content moderators are in California or India.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I thought you were in Fenian Street in Dublin in their big new headquarters.
No, that's...
And Francis, would you ever apply for a job like that?
Me?
Yes, because you're brilliant at it.
Probably not. The money isn't good enough.
Okay, but you could. Like, it's the job that could be done from home.
Yes, it's a job that they could easily get people to do, but you know what I mean?
Yeah, but your point is you need locals in every country. You need people who know the phraseology, the language. They know, they'd recognise names.
And
they'd recognise tags.
They'd recognise tags. They'd recognise people's behaviour to know if someone is evading a ban. You know what I mean?
Like one of the speakers on Saturday at this event, on her live stream on Instagram, she talked about the extermination of the Irish people and made comparisons with Nazi Germany and called the vaccine poison. Good God.
Yeah.
That's what you're up against. That's what these families are.
And they'll all have little tricolours in their Twitter names, and you know them, but you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You can spot them a mile away.
Okay, Francis, well done. Stay alert. It's fantastic public service what you've done, even though as the families who are discovering their loved ones were used find it very distressing, but at least they know and they can do something about it, like Martina did when she came on Liveline on Friday and Twitter took down the account, it seems, pronto. Okay, Francis, good to meet you, Margaret. Francis, that's Francis.
Hopefully I'll be able to find the 30th person.
Okay, you've one still outstanding. Okay.
Okay. No, ones that I can't find.
Okay. Okay, Francis. Thanks indeed. Very straightforward person. I spotted him on Twitter over the weekend, and he tagged us, and we contacted him because I didn't believe that someone could find out the name so quickly and be so sensitive about it as well. He did not post the names, but he said he would let us have the names so we could verify what he was saying in terms of RIP.ie. And as I say, we have a list of names here, and people are worried. There are people who've died in October, November, and most of them are relatively young, and they've nothing whatsoever to do with the claims made in this so-called demos or commemoration on Saturday. Joe at RTE.ie.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with Kia. Going electric? Plug into the Kia e-range of EVs and PHEVs.
Kia. Movement that inspires.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
Creedon O'Murcu. Creedon, good afternoon.
Hi, Joe. How are things?
Why did you contact us?
I think I just wanted to shine a light on what's happening in NUIG in relation to the exam situation and the numbers that are being essentially forced into exam venues in huge numbers, and putting themselves and their families at risk of contracting COVID before Christmas.
But you must know, you're an invigilator for,
yeah,
for National Union and National University of Ireland Galway. But Creedon, you must know by contacting us, you're going to lose your job.
I'm not really concerned about that. That's all right.
But it is a job for you in the next... Anyway, fair. So, because I have a long, long statement here from NUI Galway, which I don't have time. It's really unfair of them. They're a public body. They should put up a spokesperson. They're basically saying that what you're saying is not true. Full stop. Absolutely full stop. They are totally and completely and absolutely in compliance with all the COVID regulations. Now, what are you seeing?
If they're in compliance with their COVID regulations, that's all well and good. But they're not in compliance with the emails and information that they sent out to students. And I think that their approach to the exam situation has left a lot to be desired in terms of protecting the community and protecting their students.
So what are you witnessing? What are you upset about, annoyed about, worried about?
Yeah, so there were a couple emails sent out to students in the lead up to the exams. The most significant point from them being that exam venues would operate at 40 to 60% capacity.
Yeah.
Now, and immediately that hasn't been seen whatsoever in the larger venues. So you've the likes of the Kingfisher Examination Hall has seating up to 850. That was full, aside from a couple absentees this morning. They were full. As well as the Bailey Allen venue, which I'll be returning to in a couple of hours, hopefully, and the two venues in Salt Hill, the Leisureland and Galway Bay Hotel.
Mm-hmm.
So those venues were at 100% capacity. So that immediately goes in contradiction with what the university put out in their emails, and actually continues to do so, because I received an email only a couple of hours ago now that said that was the case.
What is the Kingfisher Hotel? Is it or something?
Sorry, no. It's a gymnasium on the campus of Galway.
In the Kingfisher exam venue, this is from NUI Galway in the last few minutes. Mm-hmm. Rows of desks are remaining unoccupied in all sittings, and it is operating at about 25% of full seated capacity.
According to the students, and judging by the queues and video scene, that's just absolutely not the case. Again, I can't confirm because I haven't been there yet myself in person, but from tweets coming from the Students' Union President, it's evident that those are completely falsehoods.
We're also using Leisureland. We don't know if they're falsehoods in fairness to them.
And just to make the point as well that like those venues, the ones mentioned in Salt Hill, those are venues that are used anyways. They aren't extra venues put in place because of COVID. I sat my exams there in 2016, 2017, etc. So they're nothing new. As well as that, just in the email as well sent out, there were discussions on ventilation.
Mm-hmm.
Those haven't been seen. Talk of hand sanitizer, etc., being available. Again, those haven't been provided. Oh, and CO2 monitoring as well. We weren't given CO2 monitors to stick into the rooms.
And what were you told? You're an invigilator. What were your instructions from your bosses in NUIG?
So I'm a new invigilator. So essentially, this morning was my first arrival on site, and it kind of proceeded as you just normal exams, you know, as you'd expect. There was nothing different really set out. There was no call for, you know, social distancing. There was nothing said to us about opening windows, increasing the ventilation. There was nothing about us spacing out students, things like that. We received no special instructions for those.
Okay. And you weren't told if you hear anyone coughing violently, ask them to leave, or?
I think it probably comes under duty of care of the invigilator. You know, if you see someone obviously who may be ill or that, ask them to step outside.
But nothing specific. My point is, sorry, was there a COVID briefing for you today as someone in charge of an exam room?
Not this morning, no. There was nothing. It was essentially turn up, find out what room you're in, and off you go.
And what about ventilation in the room that you were in? Talk about the room you were in.
The room I was in was actually relatively good. There was, you know, under 50 students in a relatively decent-sized PC suite that has windows, you know, the whole way along it. So when we went in early this morning, I opened up all of them, and, you know, so it was a bit nippy starting off, but it turned out all right in the end.
Okay. And you, many were sitting the exam that you were invigilating?
There were 44 and then three of us. So 47 in the room altogether there.
And was everyone wearing masks? I presume they were.
Yeah.
And were you?
No hassle in my venue.
Okay. But were you given instructions beforehand? Listen, everyone has to wear a mask. If people refuse to wear a mask, this is the protocol.
So students are meant to wear masks in the exam venues. We have spares to give them, you know, if they forget them, if they break, whatever the case may be. And we are told to enforce it. But again, there are reports coming from other venues and students who have messaged me saying that that isn't being done and that some of the invigilators themselves aren't even keeping to wearing their masks.
I know it's much needed income, but did any invigilators say, no, I'm not doing it?
There were two this morning when I turned up who, I don't know if they refused outright to invigilate, but they refused to go to the venue that they were assigned. They said that I believe it was the Kingfisher, and they said that it was, I forget the exact phrase, but seriously unsafe, I think is what they said.
Yeah.
Because there was no open windows.
How many more exams are you invigilating?
Well, I'm kind of expecting to do two a day for the next 2 weeks. So another 19, really.
And if you go along, are you going to a different venue this afternoon?
Yeah, I'm going to the Bailey Allen venue next.
But if you go along there and you think it's not safe, will you leave?
I'm not really in the financial position to leave. It comes down to another. And like I'm, you know, I don't have many contacts. I can, you know, work from home in regards to my study. So I have that assurance. But I can't afford to not work or not. And this is extra work. This is work on top of the work, on top of my study.
On top of your academic, non-paid work. This is some paid work coming up to Christmas.
And I have another job as well. So this is a third kind of avenue for me to try and make ends meet.
Okay. But if you... And if you decide when you go to the venue this afternoon, you look at it and you say, no, this is unsafe as far as I can see. If you say I'm not doing it, that's the end of your work for the next 2 weeks, I presume.
Yeah, and probably into the future. You know, there's a lot of demand for this kind of role. So
they say first years aren't doing face-to-face exams.
Not that I'm aware of. No, I don't think so. But again, I couldn't confirm that.
Yeah. Students at NUIG have shown a very high levels of compliance with public health. But that's everyone has, haven't they?
I think everyone. I mean, look, I'm not going to single out a student population for anything. Yeah. There's kind of a discussion at the moment that if the queues outside the exam halls were seen outside the pubs, the students would be lambasted for doing that, you know, for doing what they're allowed to do. But because
if,
it's
you,
in
hang on, you're
the,
saying if the scenes that are organised by NUI Galway today in the exam halls took place in other venues, leisure venues or other occasions, there are some venues being used, on other occasions that the students would be lambasted.
Yeah, absolutely. There'd be a complete contrarian response to it.
Okay. Sarah Doherty, Sarah, Joe at rt.ie and 0818-715-815. Sarah.
Yeah, hello.
You're in the Kingfisher. Were you there this morning?
Yes.
And what was it? What was it like?
I'm not sure if you've seen the videos on Twitter, but
no,
it was shocking. You couldn't stretch out your arms without hitting the person next to you. And there was a case of one invigilator refusing to wear a mask.
Refusing? The invigilator?
They just weren't wearing masks. I don't know what the policy there is, but the invigilator weren't wearing masks. And I don't know. As well as that, I did see something on Twitter last week about a student testing positive for COVID, and they were in the Kingfisher today.
But the NUI Galway are saying, in the Kingfisher exam venue today, I presume, rows of desks are remaining unoccupied in all sittings. Is that true? Is there rows of desks unoccupied?
Definitely not.
Definitely not?
No.
It is operating at about 25% of full seated capacity, the Kingfisher.
No. They said in the email that they sent us today that exam halls would be typically at 40 to 60% capacity. However, that's not the case. It was more like 100% capacity.
And just describe it again, Sarah, as best you can. You say, even though there's supposed to be a 2 metre rule, to say the least, that's an...
I don't think it's 2 metres.
And the invigilator who was not wearing a mask, and but by the way, I'm very conscious as well, Sarah, that you're doing an exam. You have enough pressure going in to do an exam.
Exactly.
Exams are pretty... You can't be standing up and starting around with the invigilator saying, why aren't you wearing a mask?
Yeah, exactly. And I don't know. I just feel like the college aren't listening to the students. Say this time last year, we had our exams online, we had our summer exams online, and now we're being forced to do them in person, even though it's almost worse this year. So I don't know what the college is trying to do here.
And do you have to be vaccinated to go in and do your exam?
No.
There's no check. And I presume most people, looking at the age group, would not have been got the booster.
No, sure. It was only recently. Like, I know a few friends only got vaccinated recently because, you know, the COVID restrictions are being kept up, and they thought, I want to go out and go to pubs and stuff like that. So there's a lot of people not getting vaccinated, and we're not being offered the booster yet because we're too young.
But you're saying from what you hear recently, which it's reported today in the Irish Times, 1,500 people a day are turning up for their first vaccination. And you think it's because of things like the COVID regular restrictions being extended?
Yeah, definitely.
They're saying, I won't be able to go out. Okay. And how do you know people aren't vaccinated, Sarah?
They'll happily tell you themselves.
Tell you themselves, okay. And how long was the exam this morning?
The exam, it was about 1.5-2 hours long, okay, after everyone got seated, obviously. But
and did you get a break? Was there plenty
that's
of events?
That's another thing. Okay. Say our lectures in college would have been 40 to 45 minutes, and then you get 15-minute ventilation break. There was no such thing in these exam halls.
There was supposed to be a ventilation break?
I don't know. They never mentioned it to us, but during our lectures, there would have been, and the lectures were even smaller classes, like there wouldn't have been that many students in them. And now they're not doing the same for the...
And were most of your lectures this year face-to-face so far?
Yeah, majority.
Okay. And by the way, are your lectures there in the hall? You know the way sometimes lectures turn up to... Does any...
the lectures aren't allowed in because of COVID.
Oh, the lectures? Because a lot of lecturers turn up at the start of an exam just in case people, there's a confusion about a question or they're simply told you can't come.
Yeah.
But the students have to go.
Yeah, exactly.
There's no option of doing it online.
No.
Okay. And Sarah, where are you in terms of your exams? I know you're a student nurse. Are you, how far into the course are you?
I'm in second year.
Okay. So you need to get these exams. There's no option. You all need to get to pass these exams.
Yeah.
And how many more have you got to do?
I personally only have two more to do.
Okay. Okay. And did anyone walk? But see, how can you? You can't walk out. You're putting your career, your academic career in jeopardy if you walk.
Yeah, we were told we could defer them until April, but that's run into our next semester of exams.
Yeah, of course. You can't just defer exams because, as we heard from last week, different students, they and different colleges, their exams, their December exams, basically are their final contribution on their CV when they're applying for jobs or internships or whatever. So they need the results in late December, early January. Okay, Sarah, mind yourself. And thanks for that. Now, because you're totally backing up what Creedon or Muraku was saying, you're totally contradicting what the college is saying. Regina, Joe at RT.ie, 51551 is the text number. Regina,
hello, Joe.
How are you? You're starting your exams when?
My first exam is Thursday morning, 9:30 in the Kingfisher Hall.
Yeah. And what guarantees have you been given?
So we were told that there'd be socially distanced, that there'd be people, mask wearing would be mandatory. And they've said that they'll be misting and cleaning the exams thoroughly between exams. But considering we're sitting in rooms for 2 hours plus with an airborne virus, I don't think misting in the evenings is much of a comfort, you know.
Yeah.
And reports today, like, we were concerned already at 40 to 60% capacity. And the reports today, everyone saying exams at full capacity, all desks full, unless somebody, you know, some people haven't turned up or have deferred or whatever. So that's one problem. And then the deferral is going to happen. If you defer because you have a COVID symptom or because you have COVID, the exams are scheduled then to happen in the study week for next semester's exams. So it's piling stress on students going forward into next semester. And I think a lot of people that have symptoms or think they might have COVID have said that they're not willing to defer because of the stress that it'll put on them next semester. You're talking about 20-year-olds who are only thinking of themselves in this case. You know, it's very worrying. And I also feel as well, all these students, myself included, even though I'm a mature student, will be working in hospitality and retail.
Okay. But,
you know, from exams finishing on the 17th of December, right through the busy period. So what impact is that going to have for COVID numbers in the wider community, as well as the students and their families, you know?
Yeah. And basically, the demand from students and the invigilator there is for online exams.
Yeah, I mean, it's been done before. A lot of the colleges have gone online. A lot of the schools within NUIG, law, etc., have gone online. But some of the colleges have dug their heels in, and I understand that there are issues with integrity of exams, etc., if they're online. But, I mean, there's ways of adapting to that as well, you know, by creating different format of an online, an open book exam, you know, which could, they've had time to prepare for this. They should, you know, we would assume there had been a plan B in place, but, you know, it's not the case.
And Sarah already told us most of her, all of her lectures were face-to-face. What was it in your case, Regina?
No, in my case, the lecturers themselves have been quite accommodating. Like, so a lot of the, we were able to access lectures online. Some students haven't come to campus at all this semester, you know, especially those that are vulnerable, accommodations have been made. So that leads to another issue where the students that are now, especially vulnerable students, having to travel maybe 4 hours on a bus to get to an exam, and they've no accommodation in Galway. So are they going to be then sleeping on a couch, or, you know, how are they going to? Yeah, it is.
A lot of students don't go because they're living with an elderly parent, maybe, or somebody who has an underlying vulnerability.
Yeah.
Creedon, somebody has sent us in. Say there, Regine, just for a sec. Creedon, somebody has sent us in a photograph of the kingfisher. Now, I have to get... Anyway, I don't know how you prove it. But there's... In the exams, in when you do them in NUH, is there a number on each desk?
Yeah, it's like sellotape to the top.
Yeah, it's a little white sticker.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm looking at a photograph of the empty kingfisher, but there's a number, as far as I can see, on every desk.
Yeah, so I suppose now, in a way, not to defend the university, but I would expect them to have laid out the venue as normal and then to say or input 40 to 60% of students. So then they could, leave a row free or that. Or that's actually not one of my big... Putting all the desks in, okay.
Okay,
but filling them with students is more the issue.
Well, Sarah says they were full.
Yeah. And everyone... I don't think anyone has, contradicted us.
They have. The people who are running it are contradicting it.
The people who are running it are there. Like, are the invigilators who are there. And
that's you,
I think we can back it. I'll be in there in an hour now to the Bailey Allen, and I'll happily say if I'm wrong, but I don't think I will be.
Well, it doesn't sound like it, and especially Sarah's contribution there is devastating. Okay, Regina, Creedon and Murrucook, please keep in touch, especially if you don't, you're not going to lose your job over this. And let us know if anything untoward happens. But above all, stay safe, Creedon and Regina and Sarah. 0818 715 815.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with Kia. Discover our 2-to-1 offers at your local Kia dealer. For more, log on to kia.com.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
And Joe at RTE.ie. Mairead Christor. Mairead, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joe.
You were on a train yesterday. What happened?
Yes, I took the 2:10 train from Dublin to Waterford.
Okay.
And I was travelling alone. And there were two other ladies sitting close to me.
Mm-hmm.
And we had all booked our seats. Now, there was no social distancing whatsoever. But more serious than that, across the passageway, there were two couples who weren't wearing their masks.
Okay.
And the security man passed up and down, and he definitely would have seen that they weren't wearing their masks. And I felt very compromised, and I didn't know how to approach it. And I thought that maybe if something wasn't done by someone else, that I would discreetly bring the matter to the security man's attention.
Okay.
But then a very serious lady, very serious looking lady, got on the train, and she started shouting at the people across the passageway, and then they started shouting back at her.
And what was she saying?
You're not wearing your masks.
Okay.
And she stood up and she pointed her finger and she said, you better put on your masks or I'll call the security man.
Well, it's the ticket collector or whatever. But they are the guidelines. They're in all the ads for Irish Rail.
You have to
wear a mask.
Yeah, there was a loudspeaker shouting it out for the whole journey. But this lady, anyway, I mean, she obviously approached it, in a not too good fashion. And the people across the passageway started really shouting back at her.
What were they shouting back, Mairead?
Well, I don't know their exact words, but it really wasn't pleasant at all. And
were they telling her to get lost, or were they telling her?
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
Okay, were they telling her we have an underlying medical condition?
No, I wouldn't say they were anti-mask, but they just took exception to this woman. And I think, she approached her very badly.
She could have had an underlying condition. She buys a ticket on public transport because we're told on public transport there's certain limits on numbers, there's ventilation, and everyone has to wear a mask.
Yeah, absolutely.
And when she gets on public transport, she sees four people prominently not wearing a mask. And at this stage, how long have they been on the train, Mairead?
We're now in, we'll say, Carlow. From Dublin.
Well, that's a good, 40 minutes, an hour?
Well, it's more.
Okay.
It's a good hour, actually. But my point is that she approached it badly, and if she had gone to the security man and said it to him, but it ended up very, very, it was embarrassing to be caught in the middle of it, you know.
Well, how did it end up?
Well, actually, I just want to make the point that I would have blamed the security man in the first instance for not having, insisting on them wearing their masks.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know? So it ended up anyway that the two couples were getting off the train at Kilkenny, but mm-hmm. but the lady beside me insisted that the security man stands in the middle so that you know, he's, that they would continue to wear their masks and all that. But another point, Joe, was that we weren't asked for our vaccination certs, so that meant that, you know, and I really regret taking the train at all.
Yeah, but vaccination certs are not mandatory on public transport.
Or they're not.
No,
okay.
Not as far as I know.
Okay.
But you can see things changing. Tomorrow they change in gyms and other outlets. They have you have to show your double cert. But I'm a bit baffled that you're finding fault with the lady who raised the issue.
No, I'm not finding fault with her. She was perfectly right, but it was the way she approached it. She was shouting at them, and she wasn't, you know, she shouldn't, actually, I wouldn't have taken them on. If I was going to do anything, I would have gone discreetly to the security man and said it to him.
Okay.
You know.
And did the lady stay on the train after the four people had left?
Oh, she did, yes, she did.
Was there any alcohol on the table of the four people who were there?
Yes, there was. Not on the table, but under the table.
And what do you mean, under the table?
Well, they were, you know, they had alcohol under the table and they were throwing it into Coke, but
so
anyway.
What, okay, it was vodka or something? Bacardi.
Sorry? Yeah, I suppose,
it wasn't. It wasn't 0.0 Guinness?
No. No.
Okay. Okay, but you're saying you won't take the train again?
Oh, I certainly wouldn't, and I really regret that I took it at all, because, I mean, there were a few different points, you know. I was very, very close to these people, and, you know, it wasn't good at all.
And then with the MBRU, the union, basically said a few weeks ago, you're taking your life in your hands using public transport, some of the stories they were retailing.
Yeah.
And we've heard, it's not like that, but we've heard on this programme from people on buses where they open the windows, which they're all supposed to be open, and opening the window guaranteed abuse from other passengers, and the driver can't get out of his cabin. He or she is driving the bus. And this is just throwing people on public transport. And then we have ads every second, ad break, saying the National Transport Authority wants you to use public transport, and the new Bus Connects, this is for aim to help cyclists, but it's no mention of the motorists, where people are going to go back into cars if they're lucky enough to have a car.
Absolutely. Yeah. Okay. But you see, I shop and go to restaurants in Dungarvan, and there's no question, you know, but that everybody wears masks.
Right.
If you don't have a mask on, somebody will point it out to you. There's no question of it. So that's why yesterday I couldn't understand why the security man didn't say it to those people, and there would be no need for all that arguing, you know.
Okay. Thanks indeed, Mairead, and mind yourself, safe travelling. That's Mairead Christore. Joe@rt.ie.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with Kia. Coming soon, the all-new Sportage. For more, log on to kia.com.
Joe Duffy! Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
Well, as you heard earlier, we're contacted by an invigilator at the exams in Galway, supervising the exams, and he's unhappy. And he was backed up by a number of people, and a lot of people now on social media, I see, tagging us at RTE Liveline or at Joe Liveline, saying the same. Willow, he does not believe the halls are compliant with the COVID regulations. A statement from NUI, I know they want to change it now, NUI Galway, basically says that's untrue. We're completely and totally complying. Willow O'Brien. Willow, good afternoon.
Hiya.
What's your situation? You start your exams tomorrow, Willow.
Yes, I do, yeah. And
basically the NUIG have a system in place where people who have disability or other kind of alternative needs, they have an alternative exam venue for us. And I've just heard from my friend who has a exam in there today in the alternate venue that honestly it seems as though it's the exact same capacity as it has been in previous years.
When do you start your exams?
I start tomorrow afternoon.
And you know, have you had any word on that venue?
No. There's been no updates on that venue.
And people are now sending us photographs of the queue outside the Kingfisher Gymnasium. It's like the queue for Donegal Tuesday in Air Square or whatever. It's incredibly long.
Mm.
So what will you do? And by the way, you have no option but to do the face-to-face exam.
No, yeah, we're not allowed to be online at all. And also, like, very much out of nowhere, nobody asked for this policy change, but last week or the week before, NUIG decided that if we were going to defer our exams this semester, then we would have to do them the week before our summer exams, which would cut into our study time and mean that for me, for example, if I decided to defer my exams, I would have to do 12 exams in 3 weeks.
No pressure there.
Yeah, exactly.
Wow.
And I know that, like, I've been talking to a lot of my friends as well, and even just over the last couple of weeks when we're supposed to be, you know, studying and getting in the last bit of study that we can for the exams, half of us are just too stressed and too scared. Mm. And, like, it's an awful situation to be in when you're sitting in an exam where, you know, it would be nerve-wracking already, and then to also have to be afraid for your safety as well and for the safety of the people that you love when you go home at Christmas.
Yeah. Okay, Willow, best of luck in your exams. What are you studying?
Science. I'm studying zoology and micro.
Okay, best of luck, Willow O'Brien. Emily Burns, you're in Maynooth. What's the situation there, Emily?
I just wanted to ring you to, like, obviously give another example of what colleges are doing. I'm in Maynooth final year and I'm doing business and marketing, and they've made a decision that all final year students, regardless what subject, whatever your situation is, you have to come in on campus and do your exams while all other year groups get to do them online.
And why what are they saying by doing that?
Well, obviously, like, you know yourself, like, they want it to be, like, they want exams to be fair and everyone to get the right mark, but the issue shouldn't be about, like, honesty of students giving good work and, like, correct answers and not looking stuff online. It's actually just the safety aspect. Like, Maynooth is getting bigger and bigger by the year, and they're saying that by just having final year students on campus that you're going to be fine. There's less people on like, the campus as such, but they're not considering people travelling, working, families around that issue. Like,
so what do you think of the decision by Maynooth?
Well, I don't think it's fair because, like, we obviously have been, like, I'm there now 3 years and I've really enjoyed my time in Maynooth, and I can't fault the college, and I know a lot of people would say the same, but it's just, like, we've asked, why can all the other years not be treated the same? And, like, if there was extra things we had to do to ensure accountability, like, of our results and make sure it's honest, but there's just no, like, there's nothing, there's no option at all.
Okay, that's Emily Maynooth. Roisin O'Connor back to Galway, but you're in Offaly. Roisin, your observation, please.
Hi, Joe. I'm one of the very fortunate ones here in Galway who my lecturers have decided themselves to move their exams online.
Oh, have they?
Each in Galway, everyone's kind of pointing fingers around. The college has said it's the decision of the lecturers, and the lecturers are saying it's the decision of the college. So no one's really taken accountability. Mm. My School of Arts have changed their exams to online. School of Law, just there a week ago, not even less than a week ago, have moved theirs online. But there's other schools, the School of Science, Economics, they're all in person still at the moment.
And you're saying some lecturers decided themselves?
Yeah, so that's where the contradictory is coming from. So lecturers are saying that some lecturers who have been contacted by students are saying that they want to do theirs online, but they've been told that they cannot. And then people are saying that it's the lecturer's decision themselves. So we're just going around in a loop. People are pointing fingers and we're just getting no clarity.
Okay. And NUI Galway, I'm told at the minute, they've, I don't know, they paid someone to tell them that their name is confusing, and they have to do something about it. But their exams are confusing, and they have to forget about the name. What about the exams? From what we're hearing, thanks, Roisin. Sean, and Roisin, you said something about food.
Yes, so that's something that I think everyone's a bit confused about. So they did a Q&A session on Instagram a few days ago, and okay, they spoke about students are allowed to bring in food to the exam hall to keep the energy up. But looking at videos and seeing and hearing what students are saying, that inside of the exam hall, the lack of social distancing and the fact that in hospitality, if you want to go in to eat somewhere, you have to have a COVID cert. But why can you go into an exam hall where there's no social distancing, there's no circulation, and you can take off your mask to eat?
It doesn't make sense. That's a good point. Sorry, the point you're making is that you take off your mask to eat, of course. Of course, that's your point. I've never heard of people being allowed to bring food into an exam hall.
I haven't heard of it before, so I think it's quite ludicrous that this year of all years that
because of that thing which people wouldn't have thought of, that you have to take a mask off to eat, and take your mask off increases. Okay, Roisin, good to meet you. Margaret, Roisin O'Connor, Sean, where are you? You're in Galway as well.
How are you, Joe?
Where did you sit the exam, Sean?
I was in Leisureland this morning.
And what was Leisureland like?
I was a joke. The lack of coordination, it just confuses me. Like, so indoor events are at 50% capacity, but the exam hall was 100% full. And I don't understand how they couldn't. Well, even if it was 100%, the coordination there was ridiculous. Invigilators told us to come in, so we congregated outside the hall, which mm-hmm. was inside, and then we were told to come into the hall at the same time, so everybody comes in as a crowd. Exam is over then, and you're told to just get up and leave. There's no coordination, like, say, first row, you leave.
Yeah, and give it a little gap, you know. Well, this is a statement from the university, where you're also using Leisureland, which is set to have a capacity for entertainment of about 500 under revised guidelines, whereas our current exam capacity there is about 400.
Well, I can tell you the stage was used as well for exam capacity, and that was jam-packed. I was up the very front, and it was less than a metre between the rows. It was just ridiculous.
But when they say the capacity for entertainment of about 500 under revised guidelines, is that for dancing or like what's?
Well, I presume that's for the seating area. But as I said, the stage was used as well. Every bit of space was used. So
There was no rows of empty tables.
No.
Okay.
That's what's so frustrating. And
did anyone? I know I'm very conscious that everyone's under pressure, but did anyone up the hand and say this is unsafe?
No.
I know.
The thing is that it's such a stressful environment anyways, but then you go into the likes of this and you're supposed to perform, give your all.
You see, NUIG again, they're ringing in all the time, I'm told, upstairs, and why won't they come on? But they're saying the venues are not at 100% capacity.
No, they are.
That's what they're saying.
No, it's very frustrating because us students, we've got the blame consistently.
I presume, can you bring your phone into an exam hall?
No.
No one can take photographs inside the exam hall of the show capacity.
No, that's the convenience.
Okay. Sean, mind yourself. Sean, by the way, is there much, do many people in and around Galway University have COVID?
I can safely say that I know of two positive cases today in Leisureland.
What do you mean?
Through friends of friends, they know people that have COVID and attended an exam today.
Oh my God. And why do you think they did that?
Well,
they should be isolating.
The college's decision was for deferrals to be a week or 2 weeks before second semester exams. So say if you have six exams, you'll end up doing those exams plus your exams in semester two at the same time.
Yeah, I know. That was explained earlier. So no pressure there, what?
Very, very frustrating.
Talk about mental pressure. Emily, another Emily. Emily, again, are we talking about Galway, Emily?
Yeah, we are.
Okay. Go ahead, Emily. What's your observation?
Well, I'm actually in isolation at the minute because I'm a household contact. So as is, I will have to defer two of my exams.
Okay.
So I'll have to sit 9 exams as is next semester, and that's provided I don't test positive. So if I don't test positive, I can sit the other 3. But, like, as you can imagine, my anxiety levels at the minute are absolutely through the roof. And now I'm seeing the state of the exam halls, and I go home to a high-risk person at Christmas time, and it's just, like, besides the actual effect on physical health, the effect on mental health as well is something I think is being completely overlooked.
That's a very good point. That's a very good point. So you're a close contact. So how long do you have to stay in isolation for, Emily?
So I had to wait for a testing kit from the HSE to come out. So once that came out, I had to do 5 days. So that 5 days will overlap with my first 2 exams. So they've had to be deferred. And then my following exams, provided I don't test positive, will be next week.
Okay. And it's a whole family isolation. Sorry, the whole household. I don't know who you're sharing with or living with.
Yeah, no, they're other college students and they have had to isolate as well.
Okay. And is there much COVID in Galway, in University of Galway?
I work in a restaurant and a lot of staff have had to leave work because they've tested positive, and a lot of them are students as well.
Okay. Emily, mind yourself. Hope everything goes well. Thanks indeed, Emily, Roisin, Sean. Emily Bourne's Willow, Regina, Sarah, Joe at RT.ie.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
Joe Duffy!
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
And Joe at RT.ie. Back to those stories, which nearly would surprise a lot of people, about the snatched baby, almost a phenomenon in Dublin in the 50s. Terry Donnelly has an unusual connection with the snatching of Patrick Birmingham. You remember during the week we got a phone call from the child who was with his mother, who was on the train to Belfast, who spotted that Patrick Birmingham did not look comfortable with the woman who was supposedly his mother. And then one thing led to another, and then the Gardaí were contacted down south, and then the RUC were contacted, and they went around and found Patrick Birmingham in a house. But they also found a baby that had been kidnapped snatched 4 years previously, Elizabeth Brown, and she was reunited with her family as well. Now, Terry Donnelly, what's your connection? You were where when all of this was happening?
Well, I was a young girl, and at that stage, the train was going from Clontarf Railway Station, the old Clontarf Railway Station on the Howth Road.
Okay, which is now family
residence. It's gone. The station is gone.
The station's gone, okay.
So, yeah, but so, I lived there in the railway house.
Okay, and tell us, why was Clontarf the main station for Belfast?
Because the bridge had collapsed, at Annesley Bridge, during a storm.
Yeah.
It was before Christmas, and the bridge had collapsed.
Okay.
And the trains were all going from Clontarf.
So Clontarf was the main station for Belfast?
That's right, yeah. The whole lot went from Clontarf, and it was a rather busy place.
I can imagine.
Narrow road. But I happened to be at the other side of the bridge, and I was watching the people going up on the train. And this woman came along with a bundle, and that's all I can remember it. It was a bundle, and the baby was crying. But the baby's head was covered. And I remember coming back up to my mother, and I said to her, it was this woman and this baby, and the baby was crying. Anyway, later on that day, we heard that a baby had been kidnapped.
Oh, wow.
In Dublin.
Yeah. And this was
last week, my sister, who still lives in Howth Road, she rang me and said, you better ring Joe Duffy.
Okay.
because.
And what was it? Something didn't sit well with you about the woman, which is the other reason the Doherty family got suspicious. There was something about the woman that didn't.
It wasn't right. The way she was, the way the baby was being held, the baby was nearly been smothered. You know, it's covered. The baby was covered, but crying loudly.
Okay.
That's all I remember. And now I remember I was a young girl.
But you were 11 or 12. You were living in the station?
I was living in the house there in Hoth Road.
Okay.
That's my home place.
And it's a house still there?
My sister lives there.
Okay. And
the railway house. The railway house on the Hoth Road, and just near the Hollybrook Hotel. Old Hollybrook Hotel
just
was.
Just on the bridge there, obviously. Yeah, the railway bridge. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so we'd hive of activity.
I can imagine. How long was that used as the main station for Belfast?
Oh, I don't. As long as they took to repair the bridge. I don't really remember how long. I know we used to help the postman bring the backs up to the station, up to the railway. We had great fun. You know, it was activity all
and was
the way.
Was your father the station master?
No. The station master of Amien Street was next door.
Okay.
In the two-story part of the house, he was next door. My father worked up in Inchcore.
And what did he was in the Inchcore
An engineer.
Walks. And what did he do?
He was an engineer. He was with he would have the old Great. No, he used to be with the Great Northern Railway.
Okay, and what type of engineering did he do?
Well, he designed the first single-decker Great Northern bus.
Wow.
My poor dad had four girls, so he really didn't get much credit for his bus. We weren't really interested in the bus. It's only now, in later years, that people have. I think it's in the museum out in Hoth.
The first bus he designed.
The single decker bus.
Single deckers, which were very distinctive, very lovely.
The blue and yellow. Yeah,
blue and yellow. You're saying, and did you? Is your father's name on the bus?
Oh, it's in the. I don't know whether it's on the bus or not, but it's in the books. We have it and his name.
Okay,
all right.
Well, that's some achievement. Some achievement.
It is indeed.
And none of his daughters followed him into engineering.
Oh no, no. Okay. I'm living in Roscommon.
It's a great. It's great. And when did you leave that house?
The house when I got married in 1968.
Okay. Okay, because the house is still there. Well, there's a couple of houses still there, I think.
There are. My sister lives in the home house still.
Okay, you're saying that. Okay, another remarkable aspect of it. Thanks, Terry. Terry Donnelly in Roscommon. Back to across the borders of probably two counties into Galway. Darren Mooney. Darren, you're a final year student in Leisureland this morning. The college, through their officials, are saying Leisureland was completely safe. We're also using Leisureland, which has a capacity for 500 entertainment, and we have only 400. What was it like this morning, Darren? You were there.
Yeah, I can definitely dispute that. When we first got there, before the exam doors actually opened up, there was a huge crowd gathered outside. There was no, queue coordinator there to make sure that there wasn't like loads of gathering going on, and it's just groups of people. I mean, we were shoulder to shoulder, and squishing past each other. So it was very, very small area for a lot of people to be in while we waited. And then when we did get in, the tables were not social distance from each other at all. I mean, the people beside me, if I stretched my arms out wide, I literally would be touching them. So, like, to say there was social distancing is just such a lie. And
well,
there was
no,
probably,
don't say lie now. Say it's a misunderstanding.
Okay, well, definitely very misleading that they said they were going to have 60% capacity. I'd say there was probably, I could see maybe 5 or 10 tables that were empty, but that was, again, I know a lot of people are saying probably from people who were deferring or
no shows,
were late or something or other.
Okay. Well, I know you were all answering questions today, but it looks like NUIG have questions to answer about the levels of attendance at their exams. Okay, Dervin, best of luck with the rest of your exams.
Thank you.
Back tomorrow, 1:45. Shana Gorm produced, and Ray Darcy's next.
Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with Kia. Discover our 2-to-1 offers at your local Kia dealer. For more, log on to kia.com.
0818 715 815 stays open until 3:15 p.m. or email joe@rte.ie.